Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Here we are. It's time to go back to school.
Oh,
and a lot of people are saying, praise the Lord. You think it's those little kids to school? The mothers will be celebrating, dancing in the lawn, I guarantee.
I'm sure. You know, it's just like you get out, we get close to get out of school time and everybody's excited. Oh, the kids will be home and we'll play and they'll be going on vacations and we'll doing all these fun family things. And then by the time the end of summer hits, it's like, when is this going to be over?
That's right. All the mothers are saying, we could go have ice cream somewhere. We could go have coffee. You know, there's just a lot of things we can do once those kids leave for school. And you've got hours, you know, of just quiet and you can get something done. It's an amazing thing.
It is. Yeah, you have some peace and quiet. Go back to your regular routine and you don't have to entertain and run around and do all the crazy things that you have to do in the summertime. So, yeah, it's a nice, peaceful time.
And everybody gets used to it. And then you've got months of solitude where you can do lots of things. You can go shopping. I mean, women can do a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, when the kids come home from school, it's over.
Yeah.
It gets loud and boisterous. Then we have to take them to soccer, have to take them to basketball. They have homework.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, it's a busy, busy day.
It is. You have to, it's more like you're playing police officer than anything else. But when they go back to school,
right,
you have that freedom. You come and go as you want. You don't have to, you know, you don't have any daytime responsibilities. You're all by yourself. Kick back, watch TV, drink some lemonade, whatever you want to do. And not have to worry about babysitting. Or I guess you're
That's
not
right.
babysitting when they're older kids.
But, you know, there's so much in the summertime even that you have to do. You've got to take them to the swimming pool.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to take them. It's not Ferris wheels anymore. It's like the swim places and the lazy river and, you know, all this and Six Flags.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's pretty busy in the summer.
It is. Ripping and running.
Yeah, and then you have to go on vacation and you have to decide where to go. And it's just, it's something else.
Yeah. Yeah. So once it's back to school time and now we'll sit here and say, okay, well, you know, kids will go back to school and then we'll have September and then we start looking at like fall break and then we start looking at Christmas break. And then it's just like, wait a minute, we just went back to school. How can we possibly be talking about break time again?
That's right. But, you know, and schools anymore are busy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've got to try out for everything. And in a big school, you usually don't even make it the first time. My one granddaughter, the one that's so good at volleyball, she made the varsity team.
Really?
And she made varsity. And she's the one that has taken all the courses for college now. You know, she's into it. And she couldn't take as many this year because she did win varsity. And she has to be there before 7 o'clock.
Really?
And so she's got a really hard day. And I said, I don't remember schools doing all that much. And now it's you have to be there probably till 6 in the afternoon. You have to be there before 7. And the school ain't even started. They've already started taking pictures of their teams.
Really?
Can you believe that? Yeah. You have to get your pictures now.
Wow, I didn't know that. That seems awfully early, isn't it?
I think it's way too early. You didn't used to. Used to, it was a half year or something after you'd won some games, and you were popular enough to put the pictures of the groups out.
Yeah.
But times have really changed.
Apparently so.
And it costs a lot of money to be in sports now. Some of them, I know the little one, he plays soccer on a team, and he has to have 4 uniforms.
What? Really?
Yeah, you have to have 4, right. And I don't know if the schools require that, but the private soccer teams do. 4 different uniforms.
For one sport?
One sport, and you don't get them at Target. have to send off to the big sport company to get your uniforms.
Yeah, and they're pricey. I mean, they're
very pricey.
They're not cheap. Goodness gracious.
I think it's $400 for the four.
Wow. Yeah. Man.
Times have changed. Everything's uptown now.
Apparently so. I'm still in shock about the schedule. I can't believe they have to be there that early and then go to school like all day. And then afterwards, you still are there. So, I mean, you talk about, 12 hours at school?
A lot of hours.
Man.
And if you're not a good student, you'll never make it because they take so many hours a day to do anything. And I didn't understand it.
Yeah, me either. I remember when I was in school, you know, you'd show up, I don't know, 7:30 or whatever it was. I don't even remember. 7:45 maybe. But then you go to school and then afterwards in the afternoon, you know, you'd have football practice or baseball practice, whatever, you know, season we're in. And then you go home and you do your homework and whatever else. Do it again tomorrow. But 12 hours at school. I can't believe, how do they have any time to even breathe? I mean, they're not even kids at
that point. I don't know. I can't figure it out. And if you're not really, really good, you can't go out and do all the sports.
Jeez.
Because it's too demanding. It takes too many hours.
Yeah.
And they demand practice before school. Now, if it was a football team, I could understand it, but not volleyball.
Yeah. All right, that's, I just, nobody's functioning at that time of day, you know, 6 o'clock, 6:30. I mean, who can practice?
Yeah.
I'm still sleeping, you know, at that point. I couldn't do it.
And they also make them run, you know that.
Yeah.
And that time of the morning, I couldn't run if my life depended on it.
Uh-uh. Me either.
But these kids have got to have good bodies to endure all this.
Boy, and good minds to be able to you know, still keep their actual schoolwork and grades up to where they need to be.
That's right. And if you aren't an A-plus student, I don't think you would get a slot.
No.
It's too competitive nowadays.
Yeah. I know that I know I couldn't do it. You know, back then it was taxing enough. But the schedule now, there's no way I could keep up with it. I'd something would have to sacrifice and I'd either lose academics or lose sports. But I couldn't do both. Not on that schedule.
Yeah. And you have to be really good to do both. Because you're not getting enough sleep, first of all.
Yeah.
You know, sleep is a minor thing.
Yeah.
And these kids don't get through till 11 o'clock at night.
Jeez. I don't
know. So it's really stressful.
Yeah. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I mean, it's bad enough, hard enough to go to work for like 9 or 10 hours a day, but kids do like marathon days. They do more than we do, and we're adults.
I know. And most of them are trying to get their driver's license.
Yeah.
So that tells you how young they are.
Yeah.
You know, they're not quite 16, and they're trying to get a driver's license. Practice that. And I know my granddaughter needs to go to the school for driving. I mean, she's not a good driver at all. And everybody says, don't let her drive. Don't let her drive. Because she might hit something.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I'm glad I'm not a kid. For sure.
Yeah, it doesn't pay to be a kid nowadays.
No.
It's too hard being a kid.
It's too hard and too expensive. I'm out.
Yeah, it is very expensive, by the way.
Okay, so I know we're talking about kids in high school, but then, you know, if you want to think about it, you've got kids and then you got college once they get out of high school. And then that's expensive. And so, I mean, it takes a lot of money to live these days, or I guess just do what we used to do. A lot of it used to be for free, and now it can cost a fortune. And so people really have to be smart with money to be able to afford not even extracurricular things. I mean, just things in general. But then you add on, you know, sports, uniforms, vacations, cruises, you know, all these other things that we want to do. So we have to be smart with our money. So that's really why you do what you do, is to give people an opportunity to increase their wealth, increase and grow their portfolio so that they can do all the things that they like to do without having to, you know, work 27 jobs to try to afford it, because there's not enough hours in the day for that. So one of the biggest things is life settlements. And I know that people listen to you for a long time, and people have listened and they heard it, and they for the most part understand it, but you still have new investors that'll come over and say, how do life settlements work? They'll say, you know, what do I need to do? Why is this better than the stock market? So maybe, because it's been a while, maybe we should just kind of run through how life settlements works and why this is so much better than something, or at least more conservative than like the stock market. You don't have to worry about losing everything.
Well, that's right. Because when you're in the stock market, we've talked about it a million times, anything can go wrong. And when it does, people are still talking about 2008.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
When everybody lost a fortune, and a lot of people started over. And I've heard people, elderly people, I guess they are, say, you know, that they lost so much that they couldn't have retired under any circumstance. And they went back, started over, and have done it again. Mm-hmm. But now I would have learned from that first lesson, you know, if I lost in the stock market the first time, they wouldn't get me a second time.
Yeah.
I'd be smarter than that, I think.
I'm
so
sure.
I've talked to a lot of people, and a lot of people say, hey, how can I make sure that my wealth is still here when I get ready to retire? And I tell them, get out of the stock market, or at least take enough out that you won't get hurt. You know? If you lose something, and I always ask them, can you afford to lose your wealth? And they'll tell me no. I'll say, can you afford to lose everything you've accumulated? And they say, no, absolutely not. I said, well, you don't have to. If you'll take it, the money that you want to be sure you have, take it out of the stock market, put it in a life settlement or several, and know that you're going to get paid. And you know what you're going to make going in. And, you know, a lot of people, the last two or three policies that we've done, the people made 40 and 45%.
Wow.
We have other policies, we haven't made but 20% or 26%. And it depends what kind of policy you buy. We have several kinds that we know they're winners. We know that the people are going to pass away on time and that they're going to get paid. And that one that we did the other day, you know, the people, it came in 6 months early. It was a breast cancer case. And the people really did good. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was 45%.
Jeez.
And then to come in early, that's like winning the lottery. And
yeah,
they don't all come in early. We've got some that we bought several years ago, and they weren't as good as all of our others. So they won't make as much on that. But the ones we've done since about 2023 have really been good. You know, we had 6 maturities in August, most
really?
I think we've ever had.
Wow.
And a lot of people came back and wanted to put more in the policies that we were closing on. And, you know, usually we don't let people go over 100,000. There was people that put 125 in because they really believed in the policy and they just gotten paid. You know, when you've just had a really good policy mature and you've made good money, you know, you're pretty ready to go back in right away. And we're cautious with what we do. We're not promising anybody they're going to get rich. We're telling them, you know, that it will be a great return, and it always is. And that, you know, they'll get paid when it matures. You don't get paid early. It's not like savings and loan, you know, or that you get interest every quarter. This is a lump sum at the end of the policy. And you get your principal, you get your interest, and you can go back and do it again. So there's a lot of good things about life settlements. People come to us, we don't go to them. And they come to us and say, look, I have this form of cancer. My doctor said I'm not going to make it. So we look it up. We read all about them, how many months it's been, how many months it's got to go, and, you know, what it's going to make. And if we're satisfied it's a really good policy, we'll bid on it. If we get it, then we put it out to the clients and say, okay, you can buy a third, you can buy 50%, you know, whatever it is, and this is what you're going to make. And they do make that. So anything can go wrong. You know, it might take longer, it might be less. And when we write these policies, we keep up with them. We do every 60 days, we check the policy and the person to see if they're getting sick or if something happened and they're not as sick. We check everything. And if a person's 45, 50, a life settlement's a great investment, because when they get ready to retire, they take all their money out of their 401k and put it in life settlements. And you can have a lot of policies. You can make quite a bit of money. It's not like you're sitting still like some of them are. So then if they do that, then they may say after they've had it a while, you know, I think I need to do some annuities for my old age. And they'll do annuities. And they have maybe 40 and 150 and another. And annuities are a great thing. Annuities have been around like over 100 years. And the principal is always guaranteed. You don't ever have to worry about it. You know you're going to get paid. And there's a lot of different annuities. The companies that I represent are solid. They're over 100 years. People have averaged 10%. You don't make as much as you do with the life settlement, but it's a different investment. It's for taking so much a year out, or you may want to leave it all in there and take it out at the end. You may want to do an IRA, a 401k, depending who you work for, how many years you've got to go. So I think our investments are solid. They're old-fashioned. Annuities are pretty old-fashioned because they pay, you know, once a year, and they add it, the profit every 30 days and lock it in. The money's always locked in. If the stock market goes down, this does not go down. It just sits there. So there's so many good things about them, and they're so conservative. People call us every week wanting to do either a life settlement or an annuity. So, you know, I'm proud to have those two things that we can do for people.
And that's, it's kind of like, that's, I want to say that's your specialty, but that's literally all you do. So you're not like dipping your toe in something over here and then something over here. You do what you know works on a consistent basis. And with annuities, you were saying that, you know, some people may have, you know, both, or, you know, maybe a couple of life settlements, and then, you know, they also get into annuities. If somebody's getting ready to retire, and say they have a 401k, what if they wanted to just roll that into an annuity? How would that, could they do that, or how does that work?
We do that every day. We do that for people all the time. And people that have gold are getting out of gold and coming over to us, because they're finding out a lot of things they didn't know. They didn't know the commission would be that high. They didn't realize how long it takes to liquidate it.
Yeah.
And you have to liquidate it if you want money. It's not like other things. Like when you have an annuity, you get money, but you still have your principal right there, and you don't have to get rid of the annuity to get money. You've got money coming in every year, or every quarter, however you want to take it. And gold is not that way. The gold, if you want some cash, you got to go sell some coins.
Yeah.
And people don't think about that. They think about, well, it's increased. But it can also go down. People never mentioned that gold the other day went down a lot.
So did it really?
Their money wasn't guaranteed. Mm. Like an annuity is guaranteed. A life settlement is guaranteed that you'll get paid.
Yeah.
And so there's all kinds of difference in the investments.
You know, you were talking just there about how the life settlement is guaranteed. The other thing you said a couple minutes ago is that, you know, when the policy matures, you get paid. And that's exactly how it works. You can't take your money out early. But the reason is because you're buying a life insurance policy. And, you know, any kind of a life insurance policy doesn't pay out early until it matures. And so that's literally, that's why it's that way. It's not like, you know, some kind of weird thing or trying to, you know, trick you or anything like that. You're buying a life insurance policy. When it matures, you get paid. It's literally that simple. And the other thing that you said that I think is worth pointing out is that you don't go looking for policies. The policies come to you. So I know some people say, you know, I've heard of a friend or a family member or, you know, grandma or somebody got a phone call from somebody and they say, hey, we want you to invest in this and that, and the other thing. These are people who need to sell their policies for very specific reasons. And so they go out, they put the policies up for bid, and different companies can bid on them. And, you know, if you can work out a deal, great. If not, fine. But you're not going and taking anybody's policies. They're trying to sell them on purpose, right? It's a voluntary thing.
No, we don't go and solicit them. They solicit us. They come to us and say, look, we represent this owner of this policy. They need to sell it. They've got obligations. In fact, this week, one of the brokers called us and said, these people are really sick and they need $50,000. Could we give them that up front? Because they need to go to the hospital. And I said, you know, that's a risk, giving it to them before we close. I said, I don't think we can do that. But let me say another thing about annuities. You can get paid every year out of your annuity. You don't have to wait till the end to take a lump sum unless you just want to. You can say, okay, I need so much this year, next year, and the next. Or you can say, I don't want to take anything out. But it's liquid up to a certain limit every year. So if a person has a 401k or an IRA, they may want to take some out every year. The wife may not want to take any out of hers. She may want it just to grow. Because remember, annuities grow all the time every year. So they become more valuable as you go along, which is a great idea. Unfortunately, if you're in the stock market, in order to get money out of the stock, what do? You have to sell it. They're not going to just give you money off of the face amount of your stocks. You have to sell that stock or pledge it and take a loan on it. And we don't do that. You don't have to. You can offer your interest all the time. You can get paid right then.
Wow. And I love the story that you've told about the lady that has she has an annuity, and I'm going to try to get this right. So correct me if I say this wrong, but she's had a policy or an annuity for what, 20 years. I think it was somewhere around 100,000. She took like 3 or 4% a year, and here she is 20 years later, still the same annuity, and it's still worth like what, $100,000 or something like that.
And 104, they told me.
That's
and
awesome.
Her husband's the one that called me to see what it was worth, because she was going to have to go to a rest home, and I was shocked to find out it was still worth that much.
Yeah,
because the interest had accumulated enough that it was still worth what she started with.
Wow. And she was able to take out money every year, enjoy the benefits of the
annuity. It was an IRA, and she had to. She had to take a minimum distribution every year after 73.
Wow.
So she did rather well.
So I guess the point of the story is here is if people are smart with their annuity and they don't take out the full 10% every year, if they just take out a smaller amount, if they can, annuities can last for, I want to say, for decades or more.
At least 20 years.
Yeah.
If you play it right.
Yeah. It's just, it's great to know that her principal essentially was still there, intact, and still growing, and she got to enjoy it, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
There's also the bonuses. Is that still in effect for annuities?
Yes, right now the bonus is 17%, and it hadn't been that way very long. And that bonus is added the first year up front to your policy. So you've already made 17% plus whatever it makes that year in the following years. So it's got a lot of really great features. Then it's got the ones you can pay a fee for and get even more things. For a fee, you can sign up and say, if I had an emergency in 3 years, I want to be able to take it all out. And they'll charge you, but it's a great feature. And that's something fairly new.
Really? I don't.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
At the end of the third year, if you paid your little fees and you had an emergency, you could take it out.
Wow.
We haven't ever had that before. And there's other things. If you were going to a nursing home, you can pay a fee and get that rider put on. They have riders that they'll put on your policy for extras. It's called extras. And there's several things you can get on it.
Interesting.
So a lot of times people will sign up for those extras, pay a fee, and get all of those added to the policy.
I think maybe a lot of people, we talk about annuities sometimes as being kind of boring because you don't have to do anything. You don't have the, it's not like going to Vegas and like rolling some dice and, ooh, I wonder if this is going to be a big one. You don't have any of that. It's just pretty much, it's a quiet, stable type of investment where you just go about living your life. Once you get to retirement, you can still, take some of it out, leave some of it in there, and you're growing, and you don't have to get up in the middle of the night and thinking, wow, okay, I'm 74 now. Do I need to go back to work? Have I lost anything? And then on your next bit, oh, I'm 75 now. Has it lost everything in it? And do I have to go back to work? People have faced that in other investments like the stock market, but with annuities, it just quietly grows in the background. And if you play your cards right and only take out a 3 or 4%, whatever, a year, and then you have all these extra things on top of it. It's just, it seems like annuities have kind of maybe been underappreciated in recent years.
Underappreciated, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Because they are top notch.
Yeah.
And you know something? I had a client not long ago that put up his annuity for some money for his business.
Really?
And I didn't even realize you could do that, but you can.
Oh.
It's a good source of financial strength.
Wow. And it's for the business. Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. So then let me ask you, what would it
take?
He
needed $50,000 and it was just easy as pie to get it.
Wow. Now that's pretty, I don't know why, but I hadn't thought about using annuities for that. I've always thought, it's for retirement, kids.
It's an asset. It's like cash.
Wow. What would it take for somebody? Let me backtrack. Can anybody get in annuities? Are you too young, too old? Is there
if you're over 80, it would be difficult.
Okay. I would imagine most
people over 80 can get a fixed one. And right now those are paying 5.45. a year.
Really?
Yeah, over 5% right now.
So even after,
you can get a 3, 5, or 7 year.
Wow.
And they're over 5%. So they're paying really good right now.
Oh, I didn't.
And that's for the older people. If they can't buy a policy, they can get a fixed rate policy.
I didn't realize that. I thought literally there was a cutoff and then that was it. And good luck. Because I was thinking most people are going to be below 80 when they're looking to do it. But, how far could we stretch it? So I guess farther than I thought.
Our people are about 60 to 75. That's about the age range.
Okay. If somebody who is, say, 40, 45, could they get into annuities or is that too young? Do you recommend that?
Of course. No. 45 is a great age. Can you imagine how much it would grow by the time you're 65?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm kind of
trying 20 years, it would be great in 20 years.
Yeah, I'm doing the math in my head and I'm thinking, a lot of times we talk about, okay, if you're getting close to retirement, a good time to switch over from life settlements over to annuities. But then I'm thinking, wait a minute though. And I got to thinking about the lady who's had it for 20 years. And I'm like, well, if you start it in your 40s, don't touch it for, you know, until you retire, how much would that thing grow? And it sounds like it would be a great thing to just let it sit in the background and grow like a beanstalk.
It would. It'd be a great idea.
Wow.
And then there's other thoughts. Let's say that it was a joint policy, husband and wife, and something happened to him. She doesn't have to do a thing. They'll give her her interest every year. They'll credit it to her. If she needs to take it out, it's simple. She calls them. Says, I need to make a draw on my account. They'll send her the money. And she's not going to lose any money. She's not in the stock market. She's not in risk. She's in a conservative annuity, which is really great if you're thinking about your wife after you retire.
Wow. There's so much versatility with annuities. I think I don't know that it comes across quite how versatile they are. Like you're talking about there with, you know, if the husband has an annuity, say something happens to him, the wife can take over. But then annuities can also, you know, you can change your beneficiary. So if somebody has, I've got five kids and this is my favorite son and he's going to, you know, get all this blah, blah, blah when I retire or when I die or whatever. If you have a falling out, that beneficiary can change. It's not like you're locked in forever. It's versatile and you can adjust those things if something happens, because they do a lot.
That's exactly right. You can make the change.
So, yeah, I just think annuities are so, there's such a, like we said, such an underappreciated investment, especially one that's conservative, to just have it sitting in the background. A lot of people leave their money just in the bank. They're not doing anything with it. Annuities are the same way. You just put it in the annuity. You don't have to do anything with it. And so if you're going to leave your money sit somewhere.
The bank is loaning out your money every night.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what they do.
And it's not growing. You're not earning any interest. You're not earning anything. It's sitting there, just
That's
stagnant.
Right.
So if you're the kind of person who just, you know, is maybe uninterested in doing things with money, annuities are a great way to grow your money without any engagement. And you know, it's just with the bonuses, with the versatility, with the fact that it's conservative, you don't have to worry about losing everything with an annuity. I have a feeling probably by Monday you're going to get some calls from people saying, hey, tell me more about
we
this.
Should if they're thinking about retirement, they're thinking about their investments, thinking about not losing any money, an annuity is the place to be. And, you know, if you've got a big company, you don't have anything to worry about. The companies I recommend are worth like $60 to $80 billion.
Jeez.
They're huge.
Wow.
Yeah, they're huge. And they've been in business 100 years. So after that many years, I think they know what they're doing.
Yeah, you would think. So, and that's why
we all like to think that.
Yeah. I mean, they should. That's why you deal with those people, is because it's not like a guy that just popped up, you know, going into business last week or last month or 5 years ago. You're talking about, you know, companies with solid foundations. And when we're talking about retirement, you have to make sure that the solid foundation is there. Otherwise, you don't want somebody, you know, running off with your money and buying jets and traveling across the world and all that. It's like these are really solid. So another great aspect with annuities and the qualifications to get an annuity are much easier than with a life settlement. Right. There's not much to it.
And we haven't mentioned that a life settlement. You must be accredited to do it. And to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house. And there's some risk. The risk is you might have to pay premiums if the policy runs over. And the other thing is you get paid at the end. You don't get paid monthly or quarterly. When the people pass away, you get all your money, principal and interest.
Yeah.
And then we should mention that we use a trustee on everything we do. The trustee handles the money. They make sure you get paid. When the check's made out, it's made out to Nevada Trust, never to us. And Nevada Trust puts all the money in your account. And that's why they charge $250 per client per year. That's nothing.
A year? $250 a year?
A whole year.
Wow. That's like pocket change.
And we had some people the other day that Nevada Trust said hadn't paid their account. And I said, why would they not pay when they keep their money safe? They make sure that everything legal is correct. They handle the money for them. They pay them if they call and say, I need money. They send a check out. I mean, they handle everything for the clients for $250 per year.
I can't. I mean, the amount.
That, divide that by 12.
I don't know. You caught me off guard doing math.
It's a 12th of $250.
That, yeah, that's not helping. It, it doesn't make it any easier. Okay. It's not much per month is what it is what you're getting at. And to get what people get for that, I mean, the amount of protection, the amount of handling, the amount of security that they're getting. I mean, that's nothing. There are people that would pay thousands.
It's about $25 a month.
There you go. One of us can do math. better you than me. So, last question about annuities. How long would it take to set something up if somebody called you on Monday?
About a week nowadays.
Oh, wow.
It's getting faster. Nowadays, they don't have to see the original. We can send it by email to them or fax it to them, and they'll accept it. Years ago, and all these years, everything had to be an original. It doesn't nowadays. This is the new world.
Wow. That does speed up the process a lot. You don't have to send things to the mail.
The only thing that takes a little bit of time, if it's an IRA or 401k, the money has to be transferred out.
Okay.
And so that takes a little bit longer. But otherwise, it's very fast nowadays.
Wow. That's fantastic. It's just, I can't really find anything negative about an annuity at all, no matter how much.
I don't think there is on either one.
Yeah.
I do want to mention one thing today that I haven't covered.
Hmm.
The station manager of one of the radio stations informed me this week that someone had complained that we were making fun of a client. And we would never do that. We've never done it. We would never do it. But the funny thing is, the man they were talking about knows everything we say. He's been a client for many years. He's 92, just turning 93. And I probably said he's going to outlive us because he thinks he will. And if they were a client, they would not have been insulted and thought I was making fun. Everybody else knows us. They know the client. They know that he goes along with this.
Yeah.
So I hate it that somebody would think that we would make fun of a client. We haven't ever done it, and we've been in business a long, long time.
Yeah.
Since 2003, and I've never been accused of making fun of a client. And the other thing I want to address is lots of times we'll say the name of the end of the client, you know, their last name. Let's say it was Bagby, and we'll say, this person has passed away. We're going to send for the death certificate, and you will be paid after the death certificate comes in. And the insurance company takes about 12 days then to pay you. We've said that for as long as I can remember, and I've never had anybody complain. Now they tell me we can't do it, that it's against the law. It's an ordinance that you can't say the person's last name. I've never heard that. So from now on, when someone passes away, we're not going to tell you who it is. We'll just send you a note and tell you they passed away.
Right.
Because we would never want to violate a rule or a law.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll do.
All right. Well, a couple of misunderstandings then, I guess, cleared up. today. So
yeah, I hope so, because we play with the rules.
Yes, you do. Now, I'm more of a rule breaker, but you know, that's something different. That's another show on another channel, probably more for cable TV. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. If you want to know more about life settlements, annuities, check us out. Read the website.
Yeah. Ton of information there that we just don't even have time to cover on the show. So it is a great resource.
It would take a long time to cover all that.
We'd have a 4-hour show.
That's right.
All right. Every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
The history of the Pegasus.
Ooh.
You know, Pegasus is a Greek mythology horse that flies. And
yeah,
it's very, you know, outstanding and very beautiful. Over the years, the city of Dallas has associated with a lot of iconic images. We've got Big Tex. We've got the Reunion Tower that turns and lights up. But the other thing we've got is the fictional oil tycoon they've had. And then they had frozen margaritas.
Ooh.
Joe T. Garcia is the one that discovered how to make a margarita. He became famous. But the more famous person or thing is a flying horse. People scratch their head when they see it because they've never seen this huge, red, fascinating Pegasus that looks like he's flying. And when people come to Dallas, they want to see Pegasus. And I could remember years ago, we would fly to Dallas, and the first thing I wanted to see is we flew over downtown was Pegasus. It's the most outstanding, beautiful red horse you've ever seen. And people that come to Dallas, they want to see Pegasus. And a lot of people have been here many times that they like to show their friends Pegasus and talk about it. And it came to Dallas in 1934. And it was up for 40 years, a long time. And it was on top of the hotel downtown, the 29-story Magnolia Hotel. And can you believe that in 29, it was the tallest building in Dallas at 29 stories.
Wow. Cool.
And the Greek horse, the mythological, was a deal of wealth, power, and fame. People looked at that and said, Dallas is wealthy. They're big. You know, they can do anything. And it was the American Petroleum Association that really bragged about it. And they had all their institutions' annual meetings at the Magnolia. And the Magnolia was originally crowned with not one but two Pegasus. Now, I never saw the second one. I saw the one many times. But they said, the speculation is, it was a sly nod to Dallas being more than a one horse town. And I thought that was ridiculous.
That's clever.
It was clever. And they said Dallas boomed throughout the 20th century, thanks to the large oil industry here. And for six decades following its first appearance, Pegasus flew over the city skyline. And it was reported that the beacon was so bright and so distinctive, it directed airline pilots toward Love Field.
Wow.
And I believe that because the times I flew in here at night, you could see it forever. And if anybody was having trouble finding, you know, Love Field planes, I guarantee it would have guided them in.
Oh, yeah.
It was so outstanding.
Kind of like Rudolph's
and
nose,
finally,
but bigger.
That's exactly the way I took it. But the icon had problems in 2000, it was weathering kind of bad. And I remember when they said, we're going to replace Pegasus, they took it down, and it was down for a long time. And I did not know this happened, but they said, unfortunately, after they took it down, replaced all the parts, made it shiny again, they lost it. I did not know that. It was lost for 10 years.
What? Seriously?
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah, they could not find it.
Well,
especially after they renovated it and they lost it. But it's back. It sits in an outdoor plaza in front of the Omni Hotel.
Wow. Huh.
And they said, even in the 21st century, Pegasus continues to fulfill its mission, welcoming visitors to Dallas.
I want to know how they lose something like that for 10 years. That's
I don't know. But, you know, it was so big, and it took a lot of people to get it up there, and a lot of people take it down. So I wonder, in between that, how in the heck they lost it.
Jeez. I mean, it's like losing an airplane, like a 747.
That's what it was like. And they said, after it was taken down, downtown was never as vibrant or prosperous as
yeah.
when it was up. During that time, they sure should have been looking for it.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, you don't just hide that thing in your garage.
No, you could not do that. It'd be like you said, hiding a 747 somehow.
Wow. I'm shocked. I didn't know that. I didn't. Maybe I should have, but I didn't know it was lost for 10 years. I didn't even know that at all.
I didn't either. Wow. I thought they were still working on it. I would forget about it from time to time. I thought they were just still trying to get it back like it was originally.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if they had probably, maybe they, did they announce it or did they just keep it quiet? Because
I don't remember, but I remember when they took it down and were saying, we're sorry, but it's got to be repaired. It's old. And I didn't think they, when they reconstructed it, I thought they made it out of something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Than the original structure. But everybody says the memories associated with the Pegasus, ask any Dallasite, and they said Dallas is not as vibrant or prosperous as it was when it was up.
Wow. I believe that too. You know, it's, you see yeah. something like that, you know, we have our big, huge, icons. We have, like you said, big techs. We got, you know, but when you have, you know, things like that, there's a certain, what do you say? Majestic quality to it.
Yes, it was majestic and it was so huge. I don't know how tall it was, but it was huge.
Yeah.
And as I said, the planes coming in could see it in the night skyline. Amazing. I mean, it was just amazing how far the light shined.
I'm sure they could see it from the moon.
And I love the wings on the horse.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was something else.
I mean, it's just...
And people from other states would go home and tell them, you know, that they saw this fabulous Greek horse with wings in downtown Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, visitors always talked about it. It was like one of the seventh wonders of the world, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't have to see that anywhere in the United States.
You know,
in Dallas.
Mm-mm. No, not even anything close to it. It's like, I mean, especially at night when you're flying in, there's not much to look at. Most people will look out the plane window in most places that they land and they'll say, okay, there's a bunch of city lights. Oh, there's some town lights and they're all like the little orange lights. And it's just kind of like, you know, a few office buildings with lights on and there's nothing really spectacular or unique until you come here. Yeah.
And you know, people from other states, and I seem like I remember used to, sometimes the pilot would circle downtown Dallas where he landed at Love Field.
Oh, really?
And show people the magnificent horse. And I know people used to talk about also Reunion Tower. How many places has a tower like that that the ball turns, you know, and the building circles on the top? And it used to make me dizzy. And I'd talk about that. I'd say, oh, my gosh, I'm dizzy.
Yeah.
Dallas has had a lot of interesting things.
Well, yeah. I mean, it obviously, we do everything bigger than everybody on purpose.
Better, yes.
And better, yeah. But it's not always about just bigger. It's the uniqueness of things that we do and things that we have. You know, it's like big techs, you can find like, you know, other big-ish things, but not unique like that. With Pegasus, you're not going to find anything unique like that. I mean, people that try to replicate things, but it's just, it's not as cool. It doesn't come across as genuine, and it's not one of those things that people go home and tell people about. I mean, anybody who flies in and visiting Dallas for the first time, you see something like that, you've already seen something special before you even hit the ground, which is pretty cool.
That's right. Yeah. And it was used to be called Big D, and everybody would talk about coming to Big D and seeing the Pegasus.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know that pilots ever circled around it so people could
they
see
did.
It.
They did. Used to. I can remember doing it. And they'll say, you know, look out this side of the window. And people would just ooh and aah. And they went from all these states that don't have anything. And they go home and tell them all about Pegasus and all the things they saw in Dallas and the lights.
Yeah.
And it became very famous.
It's more of the things that make us special, I guess.
It is.
You fly into anywhere else and you fly in and that's it. Nobody cares. Nobody's looking out the window. Nobody's paying attention to anything. They just want to get on the ground. But the fun starts before you even get off the plane, before the plane wheels hit the ground. And then from then, especially for visitors who've maybe never been here before, or there's a guy, and here's how unique Texas is. There's a guy that I follow on Instagram, and I just found him a couple of weeks ago. He's going around. I think he's been through a bunch of Texas, but he went to Bucky's. And this guy's from UK or Scotland or something like that. And so he went to Bucky's for the first time, and he posted, and I think he tried the pork sandwich or something like that.
Oh,
and he took a bite of it, and he's like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever had in my life. It's like, yeah, wait till you go around to the rest of Texas and find out, you know, what we have to offer. It was awesome. We take it for granted. We're used to it, but it's kind of fun to see people who aren't from here come in and try some of our stuff and explore our way of life and get their reaction. It was really cool to see. So,
and you know, when all these people were over here for the World Cup, I read a lot of their reports, and they said the United States was the most unique place they'd ever been. And they'd been told so many bad things, and they started in love with it. They love Texas.
Yeah.
They love their food, their barbecue. And like you said, they love Bucky's. And they said they thought we were all going to be nasty and ugly. They found out that Texans were the neatest people in the world.
Yes. Yes.
And that one guy, his car broke down that he'd rented. And a guy naturally stopped and said, how can I help you? He said it scared him for a minute. He wasn't used to anybody stopping and saying, may I help you? And he drove him to the next town that he wanted to go to.
Oh,
and he,
wow.
He wrote praises about Texas. He just never had seen anybody that would stop and help you.
No.
I don't know what it's like in those foreign countries.
I don't know. There's a lot of places I would imagine if somebody stopped to help you, they're there to rob you or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Could be. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I'm sure that took them off guard. It's just things that we have in our whole state combined, you know, east, west, north, south, wherever you go in the state, there is something unique that you won't find in other countries or in other states here in the U.S. And that kind of thing, like big techs, Pegasus, that's the kind of thing that people go home and talk about when they leave. Yeah, they'll talk about, you know, the things that they did or whatever they came here for, but they're going to talk about the unexpected things that maybe they didn't know that they would find. So it's kind of cool when you see something like that. It's awesome. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. our website again is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'm still in shock it was lost for 10 years.
It was. I didn't know it either.
I almost feel
I wasn't
like
paying attention.
Yeah, either I was like sleeping for a decade or not paying attention or whatever, but I feel like if that was announced, there probably would be some serious pushback from people. Some angry people, vigilante people going to look for it or something. So I hope it's not just me.
And how did we not know it was lost? I just don't understand it.
I don't get it either.
And they found it out by White Rock Lake.
Just
in a storage unit.
How does that happen? Who put it there?
I think one of the workers stole it.
Wow. I guess they're probably lucky nobody found out who it is. Or if they did, we don't know.
And I don't know what caused them to go to that place.
Yeah. Ooh, wow. And how did nobody see him put it in there? I don't understand. I have questions.
That's why I think it was a put up job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think somebody would have seen it.
You would think.
You know, go out to that building for something and just would be there.
I have questions and I want them answered immediately. Okay. So before we wrap up here, you had mentioned with life settlements, one does need to be accredited to do that. What about the risks? I know there's two that people need to know about. What's the first one?
If a policy goes over, there would be some kind of a fee. And so we tell you up front how much the fee would be if you had to pay it. And that it would be your biggest risk in any policy we would sell you. And the second risk is it's not liquid till it matures. So you get money all at one time. They write you a check and then they put it in your bank account.
Okay.
So you would know.
And just to reiterate, the difference between the main difference between life settlements and annuities is that you pretty much get in the policy and then wait till it matures. We have an idea of when that will be. It may not be exact, but with annuities, you can pretty much put your dates on the calendar. And there's a lot of flexibility. There's a lot of options. Like you said before, not many risks that we can think of with annuities. There's just, it's just not, I mean, we've tried to poke holes in it for years, but we can't really find any downsides. So I would imagine probably on Monday you'll get some calls for annuities. So, okay. So if anybody does want to move forward with either life settlements or annuities, or if they just have questions or they're thinking about retirement and want to, you know, come up with a plan to get ready for it in a conservative way, they do need to call you and make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.